Oh, hey there, everybody. Future Bob here. I've been editing this episode for like 2.5 weeks. Unfortunately, while we were recording this, we had run into a lot of technical issues. We were running intermittently with sports and news, so we were getting cut into right and left. There are awkward pauses because we were reading sign cues from, you know, management and whatnot. So it was a very busy, hectic night, and things are cut out from the final recording because people were talking in the background. So it's just rough. I was debating even putting this episode out as a whole, but I figured you guys deserved something versus nothing. And so if this is your first time listening to Bob After Dark, this might not be your best experience because this isn't what I typically like to put out for content, but you guys deserve it. So enjoy the Pied Piper story.
From Mothman and Nessie to the spirit that haunts your home, welcome to Bob After Dark, a podcast about legends, lore, and the supernatural. So turn your lights down and your volume up and enjoy your trip to the shadows.
Yes, hello, this is Danhausen here, very nice for evil, and you are listening to Bob After Dark. Subscribe or be cursed.
Hey there, children of the night, and welcome to Bob After Dark, the show that takes you into the shadows and goes and says hello, everything that goes bump in the night. I'm your host, the most that enjoys toast, Bob, and alongside of me, as always, is my ever-wonderful, ever-vampiric, ever-cape-wearing, and forever the heartthrob of Bob After Dark, my friend, my brother, my producer, Count Panic himself. Oh, hey there, Capeless Count.
Oh, yes, Bob. Capeless Count, that's a new name. We got a trademark right there, but my cape, I forgot right before the show. Is in my vehicle there because I had
your coffin.
My coffin. I took it off.
It's a little too wet and cold outside.
I took it off for a spin, and it was a little too wet and cold to go grab it. So, but think about it. If you're watching on the Jet TV, you just picture me in a cape.
That's all I'm doing.
Yeah.
By the way, folks. So I'm in the studio, and we kind of moved the furniture around. So I'm still learning my. So now I have a beautiful scenery behind me, which I'm looking forward to the warmer months when we can pop open the blinds and watch the cars drive by. But now I have to reteach myself my cadence of talking to you because you're on my right and my camera's in front of me. So folks, if you see me looking this way for whatever reason, just know I'm talking to Cal Panic.
I'm there.
And so it's just something I have to, you know.
Jump back
and forth between.
And for the podcast, I guess.
They won't know the difference. It's for the live fans.
Also, if you are listening live, we may have to break in at any point in time because they're going to do the news tonight.
We do have the news. So we are actually being graced by the
press.
Yes, we are being graced by the presence of the higher-ups here at WJOB. It's pretty exciting stuff.
Got Jed and Sam Michael staying
up late. Sam's here and Jed's here, so we have, you know, we have the council of important people here at WJOB.
We may get Sam on to share a ghost story.
I don't think Sam believes in ghosts.
He might believe in ghosts.
I think I was on a show with Sam before, and he was very not believing in ghosts.
Tonight
Sam,
he believes
he's a great
in
guy.
Ghosts. We'll get him on.
What's going on, Count? Last week I missed you because I got a little sick on the car ride, so we zoomed in.
Yeah, you zoomed.
But it's so it's not like I've been away, but it's nice to see you. Well, how's your weekend? When did you do?
I'm doing good, Bob. You know, the veil is thinning as we speak, right? The veil is thinning. By the way, I think somebody wants you to move the mic closer to your face a little bit there.
Okay, there how's that sound?
To your mouth there. Sounds great.
Sounds great.
But, you know, the fact of the matter is it's the veil is thinning. So there was when the veil thins, what more can you ask for in life?
Exactly. So funny enough, did you know that today is actually is pseudo our anniversary episode?
Pseudo.
The way that this year falls, our anniversary would technically be like this weekend, I think. So next week, we'll celebrate it. It's our 5th year anniversary here at Bob After Dark.
Is that officially tonight then?
Do you want to just say it's tonight?
Wait, so
I had a whole plan for this for next week.
Oh, when's the exact date?
I don't know.
Oh.
It'll pop up in my Facebook memories.
What? Can't we look back in the...
We can. You can. I'll see. You know what? For next week, let's queue up the clip of our first episode about vampires. when I talked like this, and that was how we did things.
That would probably be, yeah, that's probably deep in the Facebook analogs there, right?
It's in there somewhere.
TV, so exactly.
You know, but so your weekend update, everything was good for you on your weekend?
Yeah. How about yours?
Man, I lifelong dream completed, Count. Yeah. I was in West Virginia. I got to see the Mothman statue.
You saw the Mothman statue?
I saw the Mothman statue, proving once and for all that I am not the Mothman.
Now, the Mothman statue, people travel from all over.
All over the world. Because they're so... Point Pleasant, where the Mothman incident happened and where the where most of it is.
Yeah.
Point Pleasant, and I am not knocking the city by any means, but you have one city block.
Yeah.
That has the hotel where John Keel stayed at, where he had all of his phone calls. You have the statue, and right next to the statue is the Mothman Museum, which I also got to go to. Which reminds me, next week I have a present for you because I totally forgot it at home today because I'm so discombobulated.
At the Mothman Museum?
Yeah, I did get a present for you from the Mothman Museum.
Is it the
yes.
statue?
I know. Fun fact, I could not fit that statue in the van, but it was a really cool, humbling experience to be there.
What's it made out of?
Metal.
Metal.
Yeah. It's a real, you know, cold metal, so titanium or stainless, whatever.
This is this whole area that they kind of capitalize on the popularity of Mothman. They sell merchandise. They have a statue. They're probably doing pretty well out there.
It's one city block.
Oh. Okay.
That's what I'm getting at, is outside the hotel, the statue, the museum, there's like a trading outpost Mothman dark light mini golf course thing next to it, which is pretty cool. There was an antique mall that I didn't get to see, and that's it. I went to the Piggly Wiggly.
The Piggly Wiggly?
I went to the Piggly Wiggly.
How was the Piggly Wiggly?
I bought some popcorn puffs.
Wow.
Yes, and Queen and I got some pepperoni rolls.
Have you? Have, well, I know you can't.
I ain't about to eat the pepperoni.
How were the puffs?
They were good.
Yeah, good.
But I was there for, I was in Charleston, West Virginia for Tsubasacon.
This is Bob from the future, while I'm editing it at least. Hey, you guys might be wondering why there was a giant time skip, so I threw this monologue in there to let you know that this is one of the stuff I had to cut out. You didn't miss much. It was a quick news story about the International Space Station celebrating Halloween.
From California, this is for the Sacramento Bee, written by Daniela Segura. Driver caught with spooky and illegal co-pilot in carpool lane, California cops say.
Wow.
A driver was cruising down a highway when their odd-looking passenger caught the eye of the California Highway Patrol officers. After pulling over the driver in San Jose, officers found a lifeless entity seated beside the person, and the member of CHIPS San Jose said on October 11th. The driver's passenger was a plastic skeleton topped with an eerie hooded mask and buckled in with a seatbelt. In a photo from the CHIPS, the California Highway Patrol. Not Eric Estrada.
Not the Eric Estrada.
Not Eric Estrada, but the real life CHIPS.
Okay.
And they did have a little tongue-in-cheek to share here. While spooky season is upon us, it's important to remember that decorations being transported in the passenger seat does not qualify to meet carpool requirements, the California Highway Patrol says. A photo shared by them shows an officer handing a driver what appears to be a ticket through the sedan passenger window. Driving in the carpool lane with less than two people can result in a fine of at least $490, according to the California Department of Transportation.
Not 500.
Facebook's users were quick to crack jokes, with some defending the skeleton, which was, and I quote, wearing a seatbelt after all, while others are asking the officer if it had to check for a pulse.
Yeah.
And then another one was, but officer, I was alive when we left home, another commenter quipped. So we have the California Highway Patrols are stopping people with skeleton props in their cars.
Yeah.
Hashtag panic snake.
Yeah, Bobby. I know there's a local person here that has a motorcycle, and they have a skeleton behind them in the motorcycle as well. They drive around. I see a couple times. But I don't know what the ruling is on that. I don't know if it's illegal to have a on a motorcycle. I know in the past, you see the car, it sounds like that's a problem in California. But at first, I thought the story was going to be like a paranormal a ghost passenger. But it's just a spooky
just a prop. I told you, this week's news is all just
goofy.
It's goofy Halloween stuff.
That's what
man.
We want. Goofy
we, we're trying to keep it lighthearted this week.
Keep
it's
light.
I'm incredibly tired, so it's nice to have it.
It's nice to have this stuff, Bob.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Absolutely. And
it's still spooky. So don't be driving with your animatronics or your props as passengers. I'm looking at you, Queen, and I for driving with the Wolfie skeleton.
Wolfie
comes to, when travels with me to shows now.
Wolfie had a short-lived presence on this show.
Wolfie's coming back. I will bring Wolfie back. He's doing great. Yeah, he's excellent.
He's like in the Wikipedia page.
The Bob After Dark Wikia. There's like 10 articles. I could make a Wikia community for us. Don't tempt me.
The Wolfie.
Wolfie gets his own article.
Wolfie Months, I guess. Maybe
something like that. Oh, by the way, in case folks don't know who Wolfie is my prop werewolf skeleton.
He used to sit in a chair.
Sits in a chair.
Very short-lived.
Short-lived. I got to bring him back. I love Wolfie very much.
He was kind of shy once he got on camera.
Yeah, a little shy. All right, so you ready for our last news story?
Yeah.
It's pumpkin news. Hmm.
What kind of pumpkin news?
Okay, so this is from the AP News. Pumpkin weighing 2,471 pounds wins the California's contest for biggest pumpkin.
Wow.
I know this isn't the best spooky news of the week, guys, but, but I wanted to celebrate the season.
This is Halloween season,
guys. Bear with me.
The world's largest pumpkin.
All right, so in Half Moon Bay, California, which is an extremely fitting name for a Halloween festival, a Minnesota horticulture teacher remained in the reigning champion Monday of an annual pumpkin weighing contest in Northern California, where his massive gourds have won top prize for the past 4 years. And I believe I have been, I've talked about this contest for the past 3 years.
Yeah.
I don't remember, but I like exactly 100%, but I do remember that we had that I do remember covering these in the past. But anywho, Travis Ginger of Anoka, Minnesota beat his closest competitor by 6 pounds to clinch the victory at the 51st World Championship Pumpkin Weigh-Off in Half Moon Bay, south of San Francisco. His winning gourd came in at 2,471 pounds, or if you're across the pond fans, 1,121 kilograms, falling short of the world record he set last year, which was 2,749. So he was 8 pounds off from the world record, which he set last year, but still came in first place this year. Gringer, 44, said that he has done in the past. He is focused on having healthy soil and well-fed plants, but that cold fall with record-breaking rain likely impacted his pumpkin's growth. We had a really, really tough weather, and somehow, some way, I kept on working, Gringer said. I had to work for this one, and we got it done at the end, but it wasn't by much. Gringer and his family drove the gargantuan gourd for 35 hours to California. He said the giant pumpkin's next stop will be in Southern California, where a team of professional carvers will do a 3D carve on it at a Halloween event.
Wow.
Can you imagine trying to gut that pumpkin?
Yeah, it'd be a lot.
But anyway, it's hard enough to do. Hashtag panic steak, by the way.
Yeah, think of the pumpkin pie that you can make out of that pumpkin.
That's a lot of pies.
Fantastic. But yeah, it amazes me. You go to some of these fairs and these just massive pumpkins, and you don't know how to keep doing it. I mean, when's it going to end, Bob? How far can we go? Well, it's got to stop.
3,000 pounds.
3,000 pounds.
That's if 3,000.
Where are we at right now?
So the world record is 2,749.
All right.
Is the record. So we need either 2,800
or
3,000.
We
have a caller?
We have a caller.
Caller, you're on the air.
Take it live.
You say you're bringing Wolfie on next week, Bob?
I might be able to bring Wolfie on. John, how's it going?
Hey, pretty good. You know, I never knew anything about Wolfie.
He was on here for
like
a
3 weeks.
Yeah, he was a werewolf skeleton.
Maybe like 3 weeks.
Yes.
Well, let me ask you. Well, what do you consider Wolfie to be?
A werewolf skeleton.
Oh, well, it's not the D word, is it?
The D word?
What's something the... that you...
a doll. No. This is
I don't want to say it.
No. I know you're getting at, John. No, this is a Halloween prop. He stands about 6 feet tall.
Okay.
Skeleton.
Is that something like Eddie Munster's...
Eddie Munster's
werewolf?
Except mine is 6 feet tall and is a skeleton.
6 feet tall.
It's about my height. It's a little shorter than me. Yeah, he's
taller than me.
And how do you transport him?
He folds up into a sitting position, and I put him in the front seat.
Like a passenger.
Wow,
like a passenger.
That'd be pretty, You know, that's pretty cool to have that guy riding next to you around this time of year.
Apparently, I'm not allowed to do it on the California highways.
Can you do this in Indiana? We don't know.
I don't know. Illinois and Indiana. Do we have somebody on call from the Indiana Department
call
of Transportation?
Rice, he'll know.
Pete. I'm going to text you Pete's number.
You know what? Hey,
you
know what?
Can you call Pete on air, please?
I've seen a lot of skeletons on top of cars in the last few days, you know, for Halloween. Pretty cool the way they got them situated on top of the cars, on the trunks, on the hoods. You know, just people decorating their vehicles for Halloween, but with skeleton-type figures. But you know what? You mentioned West Virginia. Now, I was at the Munster Theater Sunday in the John Denver tribute. And
fitting.
King and Take Me Home, Country Roads. Yeah,
right. I played that when I crossed over the bridge because we did the how we went in. You could go in through Kentucky, which isn't as exciting, but we went through Ohio. And to get from Ohio into West Virginia, you cross what they call the what's the bridge? I don't remember the name of the bridge, but you do cross a bridge, and that bridge basically leads you right into Point Pleasant. So go on.
I didn't know first of all, I didn't even know there was a Mothman statue, let alone being
John.
In West Virginia. No, well, so while you were talking, I looked it up, and of course it isn't what Mount Pleasant, West Virginia. Point Pleasant. Mm-hmm. And it also stated that, you know, it's obviously because of a sighting, but there was about 100 sightings of Mothman there that took place?
Yep, over the years in West Virginia, and then we have our ones here in Chicagoland as well.
Anything unusual that appeared that many times in one area, you know, unlike Bigfoot where it appears all over the place?
It depends on what you believe Mothman is. Some people believe that he's a harbinger of doom. The concept that he might have been the one to warn people about the Silver Bridge crash. Some people believe that he was the one who caused it. Some people believe that he's just kind of there and lurking, much like Bigfoot.
Oh, okay.
Personally, so I like to think of Mothman as a, a big fuzzy lurker.
Yeah, well, I don't know the all the story behind it, so that makes sense of what you're saying. But, I'm looking forward to seeing Wolfie pretty soon. I mean,
sounds good. Wolfie's coming back to the studio, I promise, at some point.
All right, Bob, have a good show.
Thanks, John, for calling in.
Yep,
excellent.
I did put the memo out. I don't know if we'll see this in time, but
I told you just to call him. Let's surprise him.
I don't know if he's at work or not.
Call him.
Okay, hold on,
guys. So we're gonna be calling the president of the Northwest Indiana Paranormal Society.
I have a
he's also he's also familiar with the law. So I have never made us call somebody at random before, but we're going to do it.
By the way.
Yeah.
And I want to give his number out.
No, don't do that.
I have it. I have it saved. I think this is the right Pete.
Try it. Just call it live.
But if it might be a different
it's Pete, call it live.
Well,
would you like
message me?
I'm going to do that.
Have, and I'll confirm it with mine.
I think Pete's really going to enjoy this.
I mean, he would probably be the only this number I have saved would probably be the only one, but we could call him live.
Absolutely. 491, last two.
Yes. That's
okay,
the same
go for
one
it.
I had too.
Yep. Call him live.
Well, let's see if this works.
How often do we call somebody
on
the show? We
this
never have,
right
but we're going to call somebody and we're
going
to get an answer.
All right, let's see. I think I pulled this off.
This is the first time I'm actually going to feel like I'm a real radio
One
show.
Second. I'm
going to
take my mic off. Just keep continuing.
Yeah, no problem. He'll either pick up or he's not. We're figuring that out. So that's going to answer the question of, can I drive with Wolfie in my car seat in front with me? We don't have carpool lanes in here in Indiana, but it would still probably be important to know if it works or not. So hopefully Pete actually answers, which we're waiting on an count here to get the correct answer here. And so other than that, folks, those are our news stories for the week. If you find anything in the news that you think is worth us reporting on, spooky stuff specifically, reach out to us. You can slide into my DMs on all of the social medias, or you can email us at bob@bobafterdark.com with all of your news stories. You do get credit for submitting them, and he didn't answer, did he?
No answer, but hey,
that's okay.
It's out there. It may happen. They're going to show. We'll
sounds good.
It's the live radio at its finest.
Absolutely. So anywho, count. Are you ready? Just because I know we're waiting on the boss man to come in and do his new segment, correct?
That could happen at any point in time, though, Bob, so we should just probably continue on.
That sounds good. Let's have a conversation about what our lures of the week have been. I don't want to start the lure of the week until we know.
Sure, yep. For sure.
So this whole month that we've been talking about the concept of where a real fairy tale comes from. At the end of the day, Bob After Dark is a show about legends, lore, and the supernatural. Legends and lore don't always have to be exactly ghost stories or cryptid stories. Sometimes you just look at folklore as a whole and you try to find out why people started these stories or where do these stories come from. Is there any truth to them? And we've done two of these so far in the 2 weeks we've had in October. First week we did the Hansel and Gretel story. Relates back to the how it was different because we had different characters in there. And then we also have the Little Red Riding Hood that we did last week.
That's
and trying
well.
To figure out that the story that the Grimm's brothers did, was that a story about the Dog Man?
The Dog Man, yes. The dreaded Dog Man. People fear this Dog Man.
Exactly. So now we have that part, and it's so we've done a couple of those stories. We talked about where the Grimm brothers come from. So this week, I have a story for us from one of my personal favorite stories as an adult.
As an adult,
looking back at it, it's actually an interesting story. And the cool thing is, there's an actual legend behind this that may actually relate it to a real life occurrence.
Are
you okay over there?
Yeah, here's the thing, Bob. I'm looking over my shoulder to my left. I'm looking my shoulder to the right because you never know who's going to be lurking around here. I think you're good to start here, Bob.
Okay, so let's dive in, okay?
Walking around
anyway. All right, so one of my favorite fairy tales of all time is the Pied Piper.
The Pied Piper.
Yes. So the Pied Piper is not a Grimm Brother fairy tale. As I said at the beginning of the month, we'd only probably be looking at the Grimm Brother stuff. But I could not pass up an opportunity to talk about the Pied Piper story. So it's absolutely terrifying.
This is the one that led the mice, right?
Yes. So I have an article here from the BBC, which is The Grim Truth Behind the Pied Piper. This was written by Raphael Kanshun. So let's have a conversation about this. Writers like the brothers Grimm and Ron Browning may have shaped the Pied Piper legend into art, but its story might turn out to be likely based on an actual historical incident. Every working morning for the last 26 years, Michael Boyer has slipped on a pair of neon bright multicolored tights, tied his lipstick red cape, grabbed his flute, and marched out on the medieval streets of Hamelin, a town of 60,000 residents in Lower Saxony, Germany. So that's a real thing.
It's a real thing.
That's a real thing. Yeah. So people do come out. There is a Pied Piper that goes out there, and there is an actual like reenactment of this story every year. So people sometimes mistake me for a superhero, court jester, or Robin Hood, he laughed. He's also increasingly become an Instagram prop for tourists and maybe in some different eyes, a statement in fashion. But most people recognize him for what he is, the Pied Piper incarnate, appointed by Hamelin to impersonate its simultaneously favorite, at least commercially, and the least favorite adopted son, responsible for meeting and greeting visitors, visiting groups, and dignitaries. He leads tours of the city and embodies the enduring hold of the legend that draws most travelers to that neck of the woods. The tale, in fact, has survived for a very long time. Originating as medieval folklore, the story inspired a Goethe verse. And I'm going to attempt to do this for you, Count Panic.
Yeah.
Der Rattenfanger.
Okay, hey, that was not bad.
I speak German, but I don't read it very well. Yeah. A Grimm Brothers legend, the children of Hamelin, and one of Robert Browning's best-known poems, The Pied Piper of Hamelin. And although each writer tinkered with the story, the basics remain the same. The piper was hired by the town to rid it of its plague rats, trailing after the hypnotic notes of the rat catcher's magical flute. The rodents politely filled the streets, the city gates, and presumed to their doom. They weren't the only ones lured by his music, though. When the town refused to pay the piper for his service, the savior turned into a more satanic seducer and came for the Hamelin's children. Entranced by his notes of his flute, the transfixed boys and girls followed the Pied Piper out of town and simply vanished. While the tale endured, and so has the city itself, which looks like it though still belongs in a fairy tale, the person's tour leads visitors past rows of half-timbered houses. There are 16th century burgher manors encrusted with Gothic gables and scrollwork and flamboyant wedding cake buildings offering prime examples of the local Lesser Renaissance architecture, all leering gargoyles and brightly colored polychrome wood carvings. However, all this merely background for the town's regal cottage industry, which cashes in on all things Piper. The local restaurants plate a rat-tailed signature dish made from thinly sliced pork, and the bakeries do a brisk business in rodent-shaped breads and cakes. The Hamlin Museum offers a sound and light Pied Piper reenactment. Local actors put on an open-air Pied Piper play during the summer, and the souvenir shops hawk their own rat-inspired memorabilia. You can go home if you wish, loaded down with Pied Piper t-shirts, fridge magnets, mugs, and flutes. What could pass for a mere comic relief, though, masks something deeper and suggests why the legend lives not only in Hamlin, but in daring folklore. On some levels, the tale strokes a primal fear, with the Piper a version of an universal boogeyman that continues to haunt us. Parents everywhere still fear the loss of their babies, children popping up in the nightly news still go missing every day, and that we ultimately vanish at something like that in an instant. The Piper, in the end, is one very grim reaper. But the tale invokes a usual fear, a universal fear. It still resonates mostly strongly in that neck of the woods, and the Piper's tour suggests why. In fact, the real surprise of his tour isn't so much the beautifully preserved townscape, but the suggestion that the Pied Piper is more than just a fairy tale. The Grimm's brothers and Browning may have shaped the legend into art, but the story, it turns out, is likely based on historical events. The proof is etched on Hamlin's face itself. An inscribed plaque on the stone facade of the so-called Pied Piper House, a half-timbered private residence dating to 1602, similar to an even earlier one etched in the building's window, bears an exact explicit witness to the mystery, and the inscription reads, AD 1284, on 26th of June, the day of St. John and St. Paul, 130 children born in Hamlin were led out of town by a piper wearing multicolored clothes. After passing the Calvary near Koppenberg, they disappeared forever. The inscription isn't the only clue. An entry in Hamlin's town records dating back to 1384 laments that it is 100 years since our children left the stained glass window in St. Nikolai Church, destroyed in the 17th century, but described in earlier accounts, reportedly illustrated the figure of the Pied Piper leading several ghostly white children. And in the 15th century Lundberg manuscript, an early German account of the event, along with five historical memory verses, some in Latin and others in middle-low German, all refer to a similar story of 130 children or young people vanishing on June the 26th in 1284, following a Pied Piper to a place called Calvary or Copian. The Pied Piper then, more than fairy tale, becomes an emblem of a profound historical mystery. What happened to the missing children of Hamlin? Still, the mad seducer, the mesmerizing rat catcher, is leading a whole new trail of entranced followers. This time, a conga line of historians, each taking their own deep dive into the question of what exactly happened on June 26, 1284.
How about that? Before you continue on, Bob, John chiming into the show. He says he looked into the Woofy situation. As long as Woofy is not drinking in the car, then that's fine. Woofy could be sitting in the car with you, but he can't be drinking.
I don't think he has the guts for it.
Ah,
Badoots.
That was good.
You like that one?
Yeah, that was fantastic. But the Pied Piper situation, Bob, well, this is where they say you got to pay the piper, right? Because they didn't pay the piper. And by the way, I know I'm in the dark. The light's gone, but
it's we are in
it's spookier now.
Yeah, tonight like, we are visited by a couple ghosts here behind the scenes, and
I think it's
spooky. We're doing some work.
Work is getting done behind me here.
So, but, what do you think of the? Because you're familiar with the Pied Piper tale, right?
They hired
him to go out and lead the rats out of the village. They didn't pay, so then he came back and took the children.
Yes, he. Yeah, And that alone is terrifying.
It is. Now, you know, we talk the concept of the idea of this poem or this story or this fairy tale. And the concept that I always ask him whenever I bring this up is, why do we tell these stories? Where did this story come from? Where does this idea actually happen?
Where does it actually happen?
In this case, I think we have actual lore here that proves that this entity may have removed 130 children out of that village.
Wow, how about
that? Now, whether or not they were enticed by music, hypnotic music kind of leading them awry or whatever it might be, it's still an interesting story nonetheless.
Very much so. And the fact of the matter is, Bob, that it's a tale that's old as time, but not really one that you tell your children too much, right? You never really hear that so much as a bedtime story.
No. Well, I mean, it's kind of terrifying because...
About the kids.
other fairy tales and fables have a moral of a story. I don't think there's a moral of the Pied Piper story at all, Count Panic. It's just, hey man, you better pay the guy that you hired to do your job. Is that what we have?
That's all you really got.
Exactly. Yeah. So that is the story of the Pied Piper, and I'm going to read you guys a quick passage from Robert Browning.
Okay.
When lo, as they reached the mountainside, a wondrous portal opened wide, as if a cavern's was suddenly hollowed, and the piper advanced and the children followed. And when all were in to the very last, the door in the mountainside shut fast. That is an excerpt from the poem of the Pied Piper. You just look at it and it's still a spooky story, you know? But, so let's have a conversation real quick about the truth behind what I just talked about. So the earliest known record of this was, we talk about the church and we talked about the stained glass where the 130 children were born and were gone. A 1384 entry in the town records also states it's been 100 years since the children left. And the oldest known picture of the Pied Piper copied from the glass was from 1300, by the way. The supposed street where the children were last seen today is called Bungalowstrasse, or Street Without Drums, as no one is allowed to play music or dance there. Incidentally, it is said that the rats were absent from earlier accounts and only added to the story around the middle of the 16th century. Moreover, the stained glass window and other primary written sources do not speak of plague rats. So, leads you to wonder. Yeah. You have a town ledger, right? You have written record dating back to the 12 and 1300s. And in the 1300s passage, they mention that it's been 100 years since the children left.
100 years, Bob.
So children were gone.
For 400 years.
But they never said, but there's no record in the town ledger of rats.
Yeah.
So where do the story of the rats come from?
Where do they come from?
Don't know. Or, did people change up the story so it's not as frightening over the years and you said they were rats? But even then, at the end of the story, at the end of the fairy tale, we're told that the Pied Piper leads children away from the neck of the woods.
But the rats are still unexplained.
Exactly. So I couldn't tell you, Count.
There's got to be some kind of check the Wikipedia page.
I certainly will, but I think that's all we have for tonight, Count Panic.
Really?
Yeah, it's tonight's notes just kind of went by really quick.
Yeah. Well, you know what, though? There's still a lot more to figure out, I guess, at the end of the day. Are skeletons really allowed? Fake skeletons, of course, allowed in passenger side seats of the car. We don't know the truth for sure. And the rats, where did the rats come from? We don't know that as well either. So it's just, it's all a complicated process, Bob.
And so, real quick, before we wrap things up tonight, I wanted to have a quick chat with you about two things. The first thing, this upcoming Saturday, I have a really big event that I'm partnering with Sony Pictures for.
Yeah, Sony Pictures. They're
a little startup production studio. Yeah, okay. They have their VR experience in Oak Brook in Illinois. Called the Sony Wonderverse, and I am going to be there representing Bob After Dark for a fundraiser. We're raising money for Extra Life, which is a charity that benefits to the Miracles Children Network Hospital.
Yeah.
You know, I've done a couple of these already where I've streamed a couple of games online, and whatever money I raised, would go straight to the charity. This time I have six people flying in from all over the country coming to play a game with me on Saturday at Wonderverse, and we're hopefully going to raise $2,000.
Amazing, Bob. Wonderverse is located in Chicago there, right?
Yes, yeah. It is. Oak Brook, but
same concept. Yeah. Chicagoland.
So it's going to be a really exciting time, and I, you know, in case, and when you see me next week, I'll have a report for you on what's going on there.
Yeah. No, that's going to be great, Bob. And you're all doing the greater good for the community and the kids, the future.
100%. And I do want to point out that next week we are celebrating our anniversary episode.
This
so
is confirmed.
This we're just going to call it next week because this week we're a little distracted. So next week we're going to next week we're going to have the episode back.
Okay.
Sounds good. We'll do our anniversary episode.
But we think that might be the actual 5 years.
It'll be close.
And we got to say, Bob, too, I think, right? Because Monday, is that the library appearance?
Yes, we'll be at Markstown on Monday.
The one in Chicago.
Yes.
Now this is the community center?
It's a community center library.
In Markstown. Okay.
We're going to be there entertaining some of the kids, which I'm really excited about.
What time is that?
4:00.
Can people come to that?
No.
Oh. Okay, well,
It's meant for the youth.
Oh, the youth.
It's meant for the youth. We're there to help.
Leading them like the Pied Piper. Well, maybe not that, but we're leading their minds, I guess you could say. As a lot of Pied Piper didn't do that either. We'll do something good, Bob. We'll do something good. I have faith in us. That's Monday. We'll talk about it Tuesday.
Yes, 100%. So count. Do you have any closing words for our audience this week?
Closing words, Bob. You know what? The veil continues to thin as we speak. The lights continue to dim as we speak, just in the studio here. But, yeah, until next time, the 5 years. It's hard to believe 5 years, Bob. Jeez, where does the time go? That's all next week.
100%. It's been a weird ride, which I'll be a little bit more emotional about this next week.
You might get teary-eyed.
I probably will cry.
We got Wolfie.
We'll see if we can get Wolfie for the show next week.
Guest stars. We need star power.
I will see if we can get Steve on for next week for our anniversary. But what I am getting at from here, though, guys, is if you're catching this episode before that, I would love to hear some of your favorite moments in the Bob After Dark history that I could talk about next week on the show.
I mean,
concept that the Johnny Appleseed episode will never resurface.
And if people say this is your first time listen to this, you got a week to catch up on 5 years. So just go ahead and do it all, and then we're actually wrapping up right now. Anyway,
sounds good. So we gotta go. Okay.
Yeah, but that's next week.
All right, count. So without further ado, so I just want to say goodnight to all of our listeners. To my mom, I just want to wish you sweet dreams. And Dad, wherever you are in the universe, I hope you're happy, comfortable doing whatever it is that you want to be doing. And the Tiff, no matter where you are in the world, I hope you have the sweetest dreams of them all. Good night, everybody. And remember, the two most important rules of Bob After Dark are not all who wander are lost, and as above, so below. Until next time.
Memoriam Development.